Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show, the first morning show of the new year, I might add. It's 2017 for those who have been asleep since New Year's Eve. Good morning, Julie.
Well, good morning, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a good New Year and what have you been doing over the New Year weekend?
Alternating getting outside, getting cold, getting back in and warming up. But fun in the snow.
Us too. Skiing and feeding the birds.
Well, this is hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine on the Tuesday edition of the morning show. And today we have a wonderful topic and guest to start the new year with, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks program coordinator, Sandy Compton, and winter programs coordinator, Tyler Chisholm, are with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. And let's first have a bit of weather, Phil, before we begin our interview.
Okay. 1 second, Julie. The weather was up, but it's gone. Why don't we talk a little bit more about what's coming up?
It's cold. It's cold out there. 9 degrees when I drove in this morning.
And it's going to be sunny most of the week, cold and sunny. We know that. So that's probably close enough to a weather report. And we've got a great program this morning. It's going to be talking about what's happening at Friends of Scotchman Peak. And Sandy's been with the organization a long time, and Tyler's kind of a new introduction. Let's begin by hearing a bit about you two. Sandy, let's hear about you and your background, how you came to be working with Friends of Scotchman.
Let's see. Well, I went to not the original meeting, but I think I went to the second meeting of Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness back in 2005. And I tell the story, I identified a couple of personalities that I'd already dealt with that I didn't want to deal with, so I didn't get real involved for a couple of years. But then I did. I started doing their collateral for them, and then, in other words, their brochures and their business cards and their maps and things like that. And then Phil asked me if I wanted to go to work part-time, and I said, sure, why not? And I've been with them. I'm working on my 8th year now. I started in October of 2000 something or other back there 7 or 8 years ago. I'm their program coordinator. I have a deal with my boss. He gets money and I spend it. We are plugging along on our advocacy and our stewardship. It's been an interesting ride. I've watched it grow from, I think when I came on, we had maybe about 2,500 friends. Now we have almost 7,000. So it's been a steady growth kind of thing. The place that we are advocating for hasn't changed a lot. It's still there, still beautiful, still wild, and we'd like to keep it that way.
And Sandy, you've lived here most of your life. Tell us about growing up at the base of the Scotchmans.
My grandparents moved here in March of 1917. I grew up on the place that they bought at the corner of Blue Creek and Clark Fork River. We've had that piece of property in our lives for 100 years now, actually 101. My grandparents actually bought it in 1916, but didn't move on to it until the next year. My first hike, if you will, was when I was about 3 years old, into the East Fork of Blue Creek, which is part of now part of the proposed Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. So I've been involved in that place for a long time. I know it pretty well now, and I still don't know it. I've been through it time and again, but every time I go in there, I learn something new about it. It is an extraordinarily challenging place to get around in, but it's also very much worth the trouble. Once you get in there, it is an incredibly beautiful place, and I have loved it for a long time for a variety of reasons, and I continue to love it. It's a glorious place.
I'd say Scotchman is lucky to have you then. And you started as a volunteer, and now you're an employee. And not only that, you're an author. We're not going to go into that today, but you've written about it, haven't you?
I have, yes, and yeah. I will again.
That's wonderful. Well, Tyler, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to join Scotchman Peaks? You're new.
Yeah, I'm pretty brand new. This is about 1 month in, and it's been a wild ride so far. I think I'm kind of the good luck charm since we had a bill introduced about 2 weeks after I started. So that was really exciting. And my background, I'm a seasonal ranger for the National Park Service, and I've been spending the last about three seasons over in North Cascades National Park, and this actually fits in perfectly with my off-season, so it's really serendipitous that I'm here.
And what is the work that you'll be doing here?
Yeah, I'm the winter program coordinator, so I'll be coordinating our winter programs. Those are sort of, we'll get into them later, I think, but winter tracks and volunteer coordinating with that is kind of the biggest one.
What a great fit to have been a ranger and now get to do the hikes for Scotchman Peaks. And
Tyler, tell us a little bit about your background with education.
Oh, yes. I have a master's in education from Western Washington University. It's in environmental ed, so I've been doing a lot of field work with students, taking them out into the backcountry and teaching them. I got to work with North Cascades Institute's Mountain School program, which is a 3 to 5 day residential program, and that was a lot of fun. I come from Indiana, so I wasn't used to the mountains, and I spent a year in the North Cascades teaching, so that really got me into it.
We Midwesterners love to get to the mountains, don't we? Glad to have you here, Tyler. Well, I'm going to back up just a bit and ask you, one of you, to describe Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, the organization a bit, the mission, a brief history, if you would.
Well, our mission has always been to get wilderness designation for an 88,000-acre piece of land laying on the border between Montana and Idaho, just to the northeast of Clark Fork, Idaho. The 88,000 acres is actually the inventoried roadless area that was identified in the rare studies in the 1970s and has been managed as wilderness by the Forest Service ever since. In reality, between Idaho and Montana, both sides, there's about 60,000 acres that we expect to get as wilderness, designated wilderness. Now, there have been some pullbacks. There's some road problems here and there. But right now we have a bill in, or we had a bill introduced last fall or last winter by Jim Risch that covered 14,000 acres on the Idaho side, and the remainder is in Montana. Once we get the Idaho side, we will begin working on the Montana side. The idea is to add this chunk of land to the National Wilderness Preservation System, which was established by the Wilderness Act in 1964. The idea of the act is to set aside places where humans are visitors, if you will. There is no permanent structure. There, with a few exceptions, there are places where legislation has been passed where there are permanent structures. We hope to save the Star Peak Lookout, which is the only structure within our proposal standing now. But the idea is to keep a place where people can go and leave behind all of the trappings of the internal combustion machine and wheels, if you will, the technology of the last, let's say, 2,000 years in a 4-million-year human history, can be kind of set aside for a period of time. There are a lot of reasons for that, some legal and some just, I would call them more intelligent-based and emotional-based. Solitude is getting to be a more and more of a premium in our world, and that is one of the things that you can find in wilderness. I also think that it's a good thing to be able to connect back to the planet. We live in a world where we are so insulated from nature by our technology that we forget that we are part of nature. The little things that we carry around with us, our phones and everything else, we should know what to do when they fail. We should know how to live without them. They were not, they're such a short, tiny part of our history as a race, as a species, that to depend on them completely, I believe, is foolish. The wilderness gives you an opportunity to learn to depend on yourself, just you and whatever you can carry, without the help of mechanical means. Doesn't preclude weapons. If you want to be a hunter, you can hunt in wilderness. If you want to be a fisherman, you can fish in wilderness. You can pick berries. You can gather mushrooms. You can hike. The wilderness bill doesn't shut people out of the wilderness. It provides an opportunity for you to go into a place where you can learn how to get along on your own, if you will, without a bunch of the trappings that we come to accept as part of everyday life now.
It sounds like it really would be an opportunity to preserve solitude in the wilderness. I'm interested in knowing how a wilderness designation would change the current designation, because it is protected to some degree now, isn't it?
It is. It's managed as wilderness. The designation would actually not change a lot. There is one change that I want to participate in. I want to put a sign at about 4,200 feet on Trail 65 that says, "Welcome to the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness." But beyond that, it really won't change management at all. There's no mechanized use. There is one thing that will change. It is up to the discretion of the ranger at this point, of whichever ranger district we're working within, and this would be, we have three ranger districts. The use of mechanized tools to clear trails with. We use chainsaws right now. We're using chainsaws, the Forest Service does, to within the proposal. But that's up to the discretion of the ranger. Once that designation is changed to wilderness with a capital W, we won't be able to use chainsaws anymore. But that's okay. We have lots of crosscuts and silkies.
So it sounds like it'll just prevent the current management from changing and degrading, basically, so that we won't see a change that would maybe include more automated, more things, you know, more motors, et cetera, in the future. It'll prevent that from happening.
Once added to the wilderness system, it takes Congress. It takes a long time to get Congress to do anything. And to get them to undo something even takes longer. So to add it to the wilderness system is a relatively permanent thing, as permanent as anything can be in human history. So, yes, it's a good idea, I think.
So the skills necessary to maintain a wilderness area where you were talking about without the chainsaws and such, the Scotchman Peaks Group, the Friends, have been doing some of that training and grooming volunteer stewards for the last few years. Sandy, do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Every year early June, we have our Trail Skills Training Day. This year, we're going to be working with Idaho Trails Association in a trail crew college, trail crew leader college, a three-day training. Teaches people, they call them primitive skills, but it's not that primitive. We're not using stone axes, okay? We're using crosscut saws, silkies, non-motorized machines to clear and maintain trails. We use Pulaskis and Pickmatics, shovels. We have quite a trail crew already. I call them the Scotchman Peaks All-Stars. They're a great group of people. Over the last 5-6 years, we have maintained dozens of miles of trails. in the Lightning Creek drainage and also over in Montana. We have built over 3 miles of new tread, both on Star Peak and on the Scotchman Peak Trail. We rerouted the lower part of the Scotchman Peak Trail, finished it last September, and just to make it a little bit more of a user-friendly experience for people who, the lower part of the Scotchman Peak Trail was not a very sustainable trail. It was very prone to erosion, very steep, and very discouraging for somebody who'd never walked up that mountain before, and really hard on your knees when you're coming down. So we kind of fixed that first three quarters of a mile to be something different.
Some big changes, and it sounds like the group will be prepared if the Wilderness Act is approved. We've talked a bit about the Wilderness Act and the trail crew. Let's move on to what's happening at Friends of Scotchman Peaks in terms of winter events. And I think that might take us over to Tyler. Tyler, what's happening? Shall we start with Winter Tracks?
Yeah, Winter Tracks is a really exciting program, especially for me coming from an educational background. It's a program that we take local school kids out for a day in the wintertime when it's cold, rain or shine, or snow or shine, I guess. And we teach them about the local ecosystem. And it's not just Friends, it's our volunteer group as well. Most of our instructors are experts, local experts, and volunteers. So that's really exciting. And we teach the kids everything from winter tracking and animal signs to tree identification and leave no trace principles. So it's a pretty interesting program. Last year, we served about 7 schools and about 241 kids. So a pretty significant portion. And this year, I think we have about 9 winter tracks days that are planned.
That's a big commitment to the community, and I bet the kids appreciate that. What age are the kids?
It kind of ranges. I think our youngest group this year are 4th graders, and it ranges all the way up to 8th grade. And
actually, we have done high school kids, too, from the charter school.
Yeah, and so they experience it one time with you all. It's a one-time experience, and on to the... hopefully on to bigger and greater activities.
So tell us a little bit more about the experience, the different stations they go through.
Yeah. So there are usually 4 different stations or modules. And one of them is usually tracking and animal signs. Then there's also a tree identification module, as well as, common mammals and leave no trace.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY in Ponderé, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. You're listening to The Morning Show with Julie and Phil. Today's guests are from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, Sandy Compton and Tyler Chisholm, talking about the wilderness, the proposal, and the winter events and programs.
I'd like to add something about the winter tracks. The 4 modules are not necessarily set. If we have an instructor who's big on trees, that's great. We also have a winter bird person who's thinking about coming and doing something. One of the cool things that we're going to do at the Libby schools is we're going to have avalanche training. We have a bunch of the beacons, and we're going to let the kids find each other. That will be fun, and that's kind of a new... we've never done that before, so that will be a really interesting thing to do. So the modules, the main idea of Winter Tracks is to get kids out in the woods, winter, summer, whatever. Let's get them out there and show them that there's things to do, that there's things of interest. That's the whole idea.
So does an entire class come out?
Usually, yes.
Yeah, that's a big group. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, I think our biggest group this year is around 60 kids.
Wow, that's a lot of learning. I'm impressed. So we've got winter tracks. Other things, though, too. Wolverine study, I understand?
Yeah, we have a really exciting Wolverine study going on. It's part of a larger study that spans over Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. And Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness has taken on, I believe, 5 cells. We have 2 in Idaho and 3 in Montana. And it's a pretty interesting thing where we have a group of volunteers that go out to one of these cells and a thing that we called a microsite. And they set up a wilderness or a wildlife camera and some bait, some nice stinky bait. And we leave it for the wintertime. And then we go back sometime in the end of March to pick up that camera. And hopefully it catches rare forest carnivores, like fisher or wolverines or things like that. And then we'll compile the data, send it off to the bigger group, and we'll see what forest carnivores are in the northwestern United States.
Okay, and is that only happening in the Friends of, in the Scotchman Wilderness? Is that the area you're focusing on? Any in Montana, just in Idaho?
Go ahead, Sandy.
Go ahead.
Oh, there are 3 cells in Montana in the Western Cabinets?
Yeah. Well, there's 3 cells and there's 3 cells in Montana. 1 in Graves Creek, which is up by Thompson Falls. And then 2 in the Cabinet Mountains Wilderness on the east side of Bull River. And then we have 2 in the Lightning Creek area, 1 in Lightning Creek, in Lower Lightning Creek, and then 1 quite a ways out up in the Lunch Peak area.
And for how long has the study been happening? Is it new?
This is a newish study. It's we actually participated in a wolverine study of huge dimensions a few years ago, I think for 3 years running, we were involved in that. This is a different study done by a different group, and the protocols are quite different. They're not quite as stringent as they were the first time around, but still, it's a good opportunity for us to help with the wildlife world, if you will, and also to engage our volunteers.
And not only the volunteers, we also have some partnerships with some school groups. We actually have a couple high school students coming out on one of our cells, one of the easier to get to cells, because some of them are quite hard to get to.
Yeah, we promise not to kill any of the children.
Yeah.
Are there any results from the cameras yet? Have you been able to look at what's
moving? No, won't. We won't be looking at results until spring. This is a one and done kind of deal. We take them out. We leave them there all winter. We go back and get them in the spring, which is a little bit different than the protocol that we followed before.
So it's another opportunity to engage the youth of the communities in getting out and learning.
Yeah.
And the Scotchman volunteers, that's got to take a few people to get cameras out there and collect data, collect cameras, et cetera.
It does. But fortunately, people are really excited about wolverines.
So if someone's listening, you've mentioned several times the use of volunteers. If they're interested in volunteering, how can they sign up?
Well, they can call me. My number is 208-290-1281. Or they can go online and write to info@scotchmanpeaks.org and say, I want to volunteer. It's pretty simple.
No, and is there any physical qualification, or do they need to have a background in biology or anything? Or
no, not? No. They Our volunteers range from people who never go out in the woods to people who are always out in the woods. And every physical level of fitness is in between. We allow our volunteers to figure out whether or not that they can do what we ask them to do. And there are places that we're going to go to that will take some very extremely fit people to do. And then there's some that, well, you know, if you can wear a pair of snowshoes and walk for a couple miles, you're good. Let's do it.
So really, no excuses, everybody. Go to the website or call Sandy. You can help out. Well, the Wolverine study sounds really interesting. And what a great way for volunteers and kids to learn more about the Scotchman Peaks area. But that's not it either. You've got upcoming events as well. More going on. You want to tell us about the upcoming events?
Yeah, actually, tomorrow we have an event at the Idaho Poor Authority. It's a TAPS takeover event. It starts at 5 p.m. It'll be in support of our Winter Tracks program. So hopefully we'll have some of our volunteers there. Maybe they can talk to you a little bit about the Winter Tracks program. There will also be fun giveaways, some live music, and a raffle. We actually have a insulated growler that will be raffling. There you go.
There you go.
Raffling off. It's a pretty interesting growler. I'm actually excited about it, and I want one myself.
Buy a ticket.
Yeah. And ticket prices are $3 for one ticket and $25 for 10 tickets. So we hope that you all come out and support our Winter Tracks program with us and have a little fun.
That's something everyone can do and have a good time. I think everyone should come out to that.
And the event is free and open to all.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's more, though. Anniversary coming up, I understand.
This is, January 14th actually marks the 12th anniversary of the formation of the Friends of the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. But there's a conflict on that day. Viggo Mortensen is doing a fundraiser for some local radio station. I'm trying to remember what the call letters are. It's not KRFY, I believe it is. So both those days, the 13th and 14th, were not available for the Scotchman Peaks anniversary party. So we graciously changed it to the 27th of January, Friday night. It's going to be at the Little Panada. A little bit different format this year. We'll have Mostly Harmless, which is a band that plays late 60s, 70s, and 80s music. And we will have movies and music. We're going to show some of our Scotchman Peak movies, and then we're going to dance. We're going to have a good time at the Little Panada Theater. Admission price is $12. You can go to our website and go to the events tab and go down and find the anniversary event. And there's a little link there, and you can click on that link and you can buy your tickets there. We'll have some light appetizers, and then Panada will be selling beer and wine, I'm sure. It will be a nice evening.
So tell us about some of the movies that are going to be shown.
Oh, we're going to show our two shorts that were made this summer. One of them is the Goat Ambassador film. It's about 3.5 minutes long. It's about our Goat Ambassador program. And the other one is our intern recruiting film. Both films were made by Joe Foster, DAP Studios. Joe's a guy that's been here a number of times now to help us do video projects. We will show his other two films, On Plein Air and Changing the Conversation, Grassroots. Those two are longer. We'll probably have about an hour of film altogether. It'll be a nice evening for information gathering, for one thing. You can learn a lot more about us by coming, and you can be entertained by these. These videos are not, they are very well done, very good movies, I believe. If you wish to dance, you can dance.
Sounds like a pretty fun night. I'm going to put that on my schedule.
Yeah. And we might tell some stories too. You never know.
And a big night too. I mean, that's an auspicious date, 12 years. So that's impressive.
A dozen.
So there's also a movie from the This American Land group, I think, being shown.
That's true. 7 minutes. I'll have to work that into the schedule. Let's see. Yeah. Now, This American Land came out here fall before last, and we spent some time with them. They're a public television entity, and we actually, I believe our segment ran on This American Land here just, what, about a month ago, wasn't it?
It runs on different schedules throughout the country, but it was released about 6 weeks ago to the PBS stations, affiliates around the country.
No, we're getting more famous all the time.
We're going to take a music break. We've been talking wilderness, if you're just tuning in, with Sandy Compton and Tyler Chisholm from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks. This is 88.5 KRFY in Pondere. We're going to listen to a little bit of wilderness singing from Walking Jim Stoats, and then we'll be back with more information on more upcoming events.
Can't do that either.
Walking Jim Stoats, Wilderness Walks Within. Welcome back to 88.5 KRFY and the Morning Show with Phil and Julie. This morning we have two folks from the Friends of Scotch and Peaks Inn, Sandy Compton and Tyler Chisholm, talking about the winter programs. And I think where we left off, we were going to hear more about upcoming events, hikes, and field studies and things.
Yeah, and we have a couple of outings this year planned. We have two classes with Brian Baxter, who's an expert tracker and wildlife researcher. And he'll be putting on two different classes. One is on February 4th, and that's a animal tracking and signs interpretation class. And that will be in Heron, Montana, and they're meeting at the community center. And space in those classes are limited, so if you visit our website, you can sign up for those classes. The other class is a little bit later in the winter. It's in April 1st, and it's a winter birding class. So both of those will be pretty exciting. It's great to have Brian teaching those classes for us. We also have a couple winter hikes, and those are either volunteer-led or led by some of the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness staff. And there's one coming up this weekend. It's January 7th. We just had a couple cancellations, so if you are interested in going on it, it will be a Regal Creek snowshoe hike. It's supposed to be pretty cold, but I think we'll still be out there. There's also a couple other throughout the winter. January 27th is the Ross Creek Cedar Snowshoe. Then January 28th is east to west to east of
east to west to East Fork Ramble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Sandy's hike, so he knows more about that. And then February 6th, we have a Ross Creek area snowshoe, and that's a little bit more low key. It's going to be led by Chuck Gross, who works for the Idaho State Parks.
Nice. And so, they all tend to be full-day hikes and difficulty levels. Do they vary from event to event, hike to hike?
They definitely vary. A lot of them are full-day hikes. If you check out our website, you can see a description of them before you sign up so you know what you're getting into. The space is limited. We limit... because it's a wilderness area, we have to limit the number of people that are with us. Most of the hikes are limited to 12 people, and that includes the instructor, the guided hike leader. So definitely check out the website before you decide to put it on your calendar.
We'll have more hikes before the winter's over, too. Some of our more, you might say, extreme hikes aren't up there yet, but I'm sure that we'll have a few. We generally have one to Goat Peak and one to Scotch and Peak later in the winter when the snow is firmed up.
So is it easier or harder in the winter in snowshoes? Is that a tougher hike? I imagine it might be tougher or not.
Yeah.
Lots tougher.
Yeah. No, it depends on the snow a lot. If the snow is relatively firm, a fall line hike on snowshoes is not, it's actually shorter because you're not following a trail. But it's, as far as strenuosity goes, hiking with a pair of snowshoes on is relatively strenuous.
Yeah. Hard going up for sure.
Particularly going when you're in a uphill situation. Plus you got the extra weight of your extra clothing and the other stuff that you're carrying. Winter hikes can be strenuous.
Yeah,
I don't know if anyone's seen Rich Lander's blog this morning, but he posted some wonderful photos of someone up on Star Peak over the weekend.
I got an email from her, yeah. I haven't read it yet, but I would like to see him.
And I'm going to go back to the hikes with Brian Baxter for just, not hikes, but the classes with Brian Baxter for just a moment, because I've been on his tracking class and also his birding class. And for those of you who haven't met him or been out with him, you will be very pleased about what you'll learn in a day with that man. It's really fun. So sign up if you can for that one, both of them.
So, Sandy, you mentioned the introduction of a bill recently by Senator Risch. Of course, the new Congress convenes today. So one assumes that that bill's dead, but something has to happen now.
Mr. Risch has actually reassured us that he will reintroduce the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness Act relatively early in this session and see it through. As a matter of fact, we have a meeting in Clark Fork on next Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the Senior Center. One of Mr. Risch's staff will be there to talk about the bill, to explain what it means to the people who live in Clark Fork and all around the area. We are inviting our friends from Clark Fork and, well, anybody that's interested from Clark Fork and Hope to please attend. You'll learn a lot, and there'll be time for questions and answers at the end. The meeting starts at 6 o'clock. We expect to be done in about a couple hours, maybe by 8.
And in the meantime, there's information about the bill up on the website?
There is. Trying to think of exactly how to get there. Go to You Can Help and find the contact your local, your electeds. And there's a link to a way to actually contact the Idaho delegation. And there's also a link that you can find that will show you exactly what the bill says and also a map of what is covered in that bill. It's the Idaho side only. It's about, as I said earlier, about 14,000 acres. The map very distinctly outlines it, and you can see where the proposal lies.
Something to look forward to, really. Hopefully that'll work out this year. Well, if folks, we know folks can get involved by going to the website and going online. Are there other ways that people can get involved and go to the meeting? What else?
We are always doing something. If you watch our website, there's always something happening. If you're not a friend, or if you're not getting our newsletter, we publish a quarterly newsletter that comes out every 3 months. The next one will be out somewhere around January 15th. You can go to our site and up in the upper right-hand corner, and that's scotchmanpeaks.org. Scotchman Peaks, Scotchman singular, Peaks plural, .org. Up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a button that says donate. And right next to that, there's a button that says subscribe or become a friend. And you click on that, and you've had several choices. You can sign up for our electronic newsletter. You can have it mailed to you, or you can sign up for the Insider. And the Insider is actually our prime mover as far as events go. It comes out every Monday. It's very short, very to the point. It says, this is what's happening over the next couple of weeks. It'll tell you about volunteer opportunities. It'll tell you about things like we're doing at the IPA. It'll tell you about... we're about maybe a month out. So the Insider is really a handy little thing. It comes in your email. It's very short, really easy to read, and it just keeps you informed about everything that's going on. So go to scotchmanpeaks.org, go to subscribe, and find the Insider and click on that button, and we will keep you informed.
Do the growing numbers of Friends of Scotchman Peak make a difference to the legislature? Do they see that? Or
yes, yes. it's very interesting. The number of friends that we have has not ever done a big spike. It's always been a kind of a steady growth over time, about 20 people a month. Somewhere in there. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And yeah, our legislators pay attention to that. They go, oh, well, there's this many people who have said, we agree that this piece of land should be wilderness. And then we also ask our friends to write to their legislature. We have postcards that you can pick up at the next few events that they can send comments. We have links on our website where you can submit electronic comments. And everything counts. Every personal contact counts. They pay attention. They actually value very much that kind of input, and they seek it. So it's how we've moved as far as we have moved.
So, Sandy, you mentioned the Mountain Goats once or twice and the video about the Trail Ambassador Program. Tell us a little bit more about how that worked last summer and what's ahead for next summer with the goats.
Okay. Last year, in response to some problematic encounters that human beings were having with mountain goats, we decided that, I guess I shouldn't do that. We decided, okay, the first step was to like mark them with paintballs and then try to hit them with beanbags. And then if they still didn't figure it out, we were going to tag them and remove them if they wouldn't leave the goats alone.
But none of that was actually done. So.
No, yes. None of that was actually done.
You're joking.
What we did instead, rather than tagging and removing the problem humans, we decided that education was the best way to go. We came up with the idea of trail ambassadors, and we hired a person to be the coordinator of this group of people. We had about 30 people who were trail ambassador volunteers. They put in hundreds of hours on the trail last year. And just talking to people about the inadvisability of approaching goats too closely, teaching them some leave no trace stuff, making sure that if they saw people that were misbehaving, if you will, I won't say misbehaving, but if they saw people who were not informed about how to be around goats, to talk to them and say, listen, this is why you don't want to approach them. It grew out of an incident the year before last in which a goat actually bit a man, and the Forest Service actually closed the trail for quite a while, a couple months, over that event. And so it was a very successful program. We talked to hundreds of people. We had no goat incidents. We noticed that there was a change in behavior of the goats. And so we're going to do it again next summer. We're going to put together the same program. We're going to do the Goat Ambassador Program again. We believe that it's a really effective way to train people about wildlife encounters in general. And it works really well.
So an awful lot of stuff going on, and we're running a little short on time. Do you want to recap for those who might have tuned in a little bit late the upcoming events in January and February?
Yeah. So the one that's happening tomorrow is at the Idaho Poor Authority at 5 p.m., and that's a tap takeover with Ecliptic Brewing. There'll be raffles and fun giveaways and live music, and again, that starts at 5 p.m. There's also our anniversary event, and that's January 27th at the Little Panada, and that starts around 6 p.m. Tickets are $12, and they're available on our website. And we also, I don't think we mentioned this yet, we have a Sip and Shop event, and that's February 23rd, and that's at the Pondere Winery. And there, this is actually an annual event. We'll be having some delicious food, some wine, and live music. And Scotchman Peaks Wilderness will get some of the proceeds from that event. So it's a pretty fun event. We'd love to see you out there.
And outings.
Oh, and outings. Yes, we have two outdoor education classes with Brian Baxter. One is on February 4th, and that's an animal tracking and signs interpretation class. And that's in Heron, Montana. There's also one on April 1st, and that's a winter birding class, and that's in the same place in Heron, Montana, at the Community Center. And then we have winter hikes. Our schedule right now, we have four different hikes. One is this weekend on January 7th, and it's at a Regal Creek Snowshoe Hike. Then we have one on January 27th. It's Ross Creek Cedar Snowshoe. January 28th, the next day, is Sandy's Hike, which will be a meander along the East Fork of Blue Creek. And on February 6th, there will be a Ross Creek area snowshoe, which is a little bit more low-key for someone who's not as experienced.
And for those of you who haven't been to Ross Creek, it's worth the trip. Beautiful.
Well, it all sounds very busy. We want to thank you for coming in and spending the time this morning with us in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, and would you like to finish up with your contact info, and then Phil and I will move on to current events, etc.
All right. Our website is Scotchman, singular, Peaks, plural, scotchmanpeaks.org. You can write to us at info@scotchmanpeaks.org, or you can look at our website and go to the events tab, and you can find out what's happening.
Very good. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
We're going to take a short music break here and listen to Roger Williams' version of Born Free, and then Julie and I will be back with a little bit of community calendar. Roger Williams, Born Free, appropriate for the day.
That's right, because Joy Adamson passed away on this day many years ago.
And Joy Adamson is?
Oh, the lion conservation person that we all know about and the movie Born Free, for those of you younger than 50 or so.
Well, it also fits today's theme on wilderness. We had a great show with Sandy Compton and Tyler Chisholm from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. And if you tuned in late or only heard part of it or just want to hear it again, you can always go to our website, krfy.org, and listen to the podcast. And if you're out of town next week and want to listen to the morning show, you can listen to that live streaming again at krfy.org. Speaking of the morning show, the next morning show of 2017 is tomorrow morning, January 4th. Join hosts Susie Perez and Chris Bessler, their guests Lisa DeFreitas, and co-workers from Bonner General Health Community Hospice will be here at 8 a.m.
Very good.
And then on Thursday, Jack Peterson will be back with a musical retrospective of 2016. It'll be interesting to see what Jack comes up with for that. Next Tuesday, Julie, we'll be back at 8 o'clock here at 88.5 FM.
Yes, Phil and me will be here, and Phil and I will be here, and we'll be visiting with Rich Del Carlo and with Brian Baxter, and we're going to be talking about animals in the winter, what we're doing to help them with habitat, food, if it's necessary, etc. So that should be a good show for those of you who care about the animals. And another thing that we need to be thinking about is our upcoming event with Viggo Mortensen. That's the movie Captain Fantastic. That's happening January 13th and 14th, two nights. Tickets are on sale here at the station, at Eichhart's, Evans Brothers, and also at the Panada. And I've just heard from Susie, our manager, general manager, that Saturday is getting pretty darn full. We only have a few tickets left, and Friday will be filled out soon. So get your tickets if you want to see it.
Viggo is sure to sell out.
That's right. We'll be seeing him live.
So if you're not doing anything today, stay inside. There's a wind chill advisory until 10 a.m. this morning, with the high only getting to about 15 degrees, and that's without the wind chill. It should be a lot colder than that, but at least it will be sunny. Tonight, the low gets down to 1 degree, one lonely degree Fahrenheit, but it'll be clear. And those clear days and nights bring cooler weather. So tomorrow, the high will be 12 degrees. Wednesday night, bundle up. It's minus 4.
Well, that is cold, but it's beautiful and sunny. Stay out of the wind, and you'll have a good time outdoors. How about some current, some events for the upcoming
week? What do we have coming up?
Yeah, we've got a few things. First of all, we want to mention this just one more time. It's the 4th tomorrow, Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness at It's the Elliptic Brewing Tap Takeover, and so you know that that'll be at IPA, Poor Authority, 203 Cedar Street. So don't miss that opportunity. It's going to be great. So starting at 5 p.m. And then we've got a bike movie night. That's this time of the year. It's Greasy Fingers Bike and Repair, and that's happening at, where is that happening? I believe it's happening having a hard time seeing where it is, but if you want more information on that one.
I think they usually do it right there at Greasy
their
Fingers.
Shop. Okay.
Do we know what the films are? Did they say?
Not noted here, so we don't know, but there will be snacks and beverages, and you call them at 208-255-4496. It's important that I mention upcoming two things this Saturday. One, of course, is the Scotchman Peak event, the hike. We've talked about that already, but there is another event if you're not able to get out of town and want to stay near and get outside, and that's the Learned Cross Country Ski Free Day. Sandpoint Nordic Club and Schweitzer co-host that for a free day starting at the Roundabout Trail up at Schweitzer. Sessions will be held 9 a.m., 11:15, and 1:30. And it's just a great opportunity to try out Nordic skiing in all its iterations. For more information on that, you can call 208-255-3070 and get signed up.
It sounded like there's a lot of events coming up in January now that we've kicked off the new year. Outdoor events, outdoor activities from the Friends and from Schweitzer, and it's a great time to get out and enjoy some of our winter weather.
That's right. There's more if we've got time. Okay, on the 9th, we've got the night sky outing with astronomer Sandy Nichols, and you'll be able to view the night sky through telescopes at the viewing location on Great Northern Road during this astronomy outing. It starts at 6:30 p.m. It's completely weather-dependent. I suppose we need clear skies, don't we, Phil?
That helps.
That would help. And for more details on that, you can call Suzanne Davis at 208-263-6930 extension 1211, or email her at that's a long email. I'm not going to go into it, but just give her a call. All right, and we've got one more. I think we've got time for one more event. So what about on the 5th, Ice Age Mega Floods? That's a phenomenon of the Pacific Northwest, which really is interesting. The Sandpoint Friends of the Library are hosting a presentation by Tony Lewis from the Ice Age Floods Institute starting at noon in the Sandpoint Library. For those of you who haven't been there, it's at 1407 Cedar Street. The focus will be on the physical processes and resultant landscapes of the Ice Age Flood features in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. That's also free.
Well, that's about it for this morning's morning show. But as always, if you're interested in hearing more morning shows, you can go to KRFY.org and listen to the podcasts. You can listen to us live streaming or each Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 8 a.m. right here at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. We're going to go out with a little bit of B.J. Thomas. His song Raindrops Falling on My Head hit number one in 1969, started a four-week run, and somehow seems appropriate, even though it might be snowdrops falling on my head.
I'm just glad it isn't raindrops this year. Have a good week, everyone.